You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
This doesn't surprise me.
I think that sends the right message on so many different levels.
What a crock, eh?
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Yeah. Welcome to it for this Wednesday afternoon. Joining us from the National Post is Christy Blatchford, who you just heard. Hey, Christy.
Hello.
Looking very summery today. News Talk 1010 political expert Scott Reed.
Super summery expert. I'm a summer expert today.
And just in conversation with Savan, Savan was quizzing Scott on whether or not he had any tats.
Yeah.
I am not a tattoo guy. I do not defile the temple that is my blonde body.
I thought you'd have one of Paul Martin on your back.
No. That was the microchip.
It might be on his front. Who knows?
That was the microchip. And that voice you heard is, of course, John Paul, host of the Pole Position on the night side as well all week. Well, here we are, guys. An interesting development in a story we chewed on yesterday inside the roundtable. The premier now abandoning plans to punish gas station owners with fines of up to $10,000 a day for not posting stickers targeting federal carbon pricing. This from our friends at the Toronto Star today. We found this a really interesting story as well when we found out that the people that will be enforcing this are people that not only enforce the rules around gas pumps, but they enforce the rules around boilers. They also handle upholstery, as well as various other sundry duties that we're learning this afternoon.
Watch out for dangerous upholstery, I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah. If you ever wondered who enforced that pulling the tag off the mattress law,
Turns out
it's those people. What's interesting, too, is, essentially independent retailers are saying, Christy, you know, that with so much other work for these people to do, more than likely this is not going to be enforced at all. So you really got to wonder, how do we even get here?
I guess we got here because Doug Ford didn't realize that threats are bad, and the worse than threats are empty threats. You know, this is silly. They should never have had the kind of punishment, the $10,000 maximum fine on the books, period. I don't think they should be forcing people to post these signs either.
Yeah, and you know, now that we've, you know, backed down on it, John, definitely, you know, $10,000 a day seemed and does continue to seem extremely harsh.
I honestly thought it was a typo. Every time I saw it, I'm like, it has to be a typo.
It must be 100.
It can't be $10,000 a day. We had a lady that had a dog and a cat. She put duct tape around the cat, put them both in a plastic bin, and put them in a storage unit. And her fine was $250 total. So I was like, in Canada, $10,000 a day for not having stickers seems really, really steep in comparison to that terrible fine. So I think it's good that they backtracked, but they should have never had to backtrack in the beginning, because if you have a group of people with common sense, as soon as someone says, that's fine, I'm $10,000 a day, someone should have said, guys, just a second, that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it does.
Yeah, let's pick up on that thread, Scott. Do we give the government credit for knowing when to back down? Because this has become a bit of procedure now. It's happened two or three times where the government's had to backtrack.
I'm going to come to that in 1 second. Okay. I want to say something first.
Sure, go ahead.
We're all reporting this incorrectly.
Okay.
They haven't really backed down. First of all, they're still sending the stickers to the people who own the pumps with an expectation that you were to put them on. That's what your expectation is, presumably, when you get that package in the mail. Secondly, and I'm going to quote from the government, right? They will be subject, quote, to written warnings or charges under the Provincial Offences Act. So you're still going to get it. You're still going to get the fine. It's just like nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Don't worry. We don't really expect you to pay it. Well, you know what? What happened if I wasn't listening to the radio on the 21st of August and I get the fine for $10,000 because it is issued? So they're still going to issue the stickers. They're still issuing the fine. All they're saying is our insanely stupid idea, which had turned into an insanely stupid policy, is now an act that will insanely stupidly not be enforced. So that's what I think. Now, is it, you know, a cascade of backdowns by the government? Sure. They're spending the summer saying to themselves, let's stop punching ourselves in the face. We'll punch ourselves in the gut a little while for a change, but let's stop punching ourselves in the face. And it's smart to do because what they were doing was so stupid. But this is a lame way out, because the right thing to do would say, we're not sending out the stickers and you'll never be fined.
Sticking with our Ontario government, the newly released sexual education curriculum, which includes details of when and what students will be taught, released today. That curriculum for grades 1 through 8 updated following feedback from the public and consultation with experts.
Ministry of Education saying the new 320-page health and physical education curriculum will focus on various topics, including mental health, sexual health, and consent, also examining the effects and risks of substance use, including cannabis and vaping, and the new curriculum will replace the much-criticized teaching plan brought in after the progressive conservatives took power last year. Obviously, not a large sample size because I can only go from the people that we spoke with today, Christy, but a lot of people saying that they did the right thing here, that this is a good curriculum.
Yeah, but it was a wasted exercise. What was the point? This curriculum, but for a few points, is essentially the same one as the Kathleen Wynne government had introduced, in which the conservatives said was terrible and they were going to replace it. And they replaced it with something that's a slightly watered down and slightly changed version, at least according to those who apply. I mean, why do we need 300 pages of anything anyway? It's the whole thing has always struck me as an absurd, you know, much ado about nothing.
Scott, when you look at the breakdown, you know, in what students will be taught in grade one, including to identify body parts, what students learn in grade three, grade five, grade eight, you know, I'll ask John the same question in a moment. As a parent, how much attention are you paying to the specifics of a curriculum like this?
Well, some, but I'm not too alarmed by, I mean, first of all, I've always been in favor of an updated and progressive curriculum. I was in favor of it when it came out under McGuinty. Then when we fought about it for that, then I was in favor under when it came out under Wynne. Now I'm in favor of it under Ford. And, you know, to me, the politics of this has paid off handsomely for Doug Ford so far. It has paid off. I mean, Christy says, what's the point of the past year? The point was that he was able to galvanize the Tanya Granich Allens, the hardcore social conservatives who supported him in the leadership, and that helped get him the leadership. They supported him in the election, helped him win ridings, and now he's backing off of it. So they're mad. Maybe he's going to have a 2022 problem when he says to those social conservatives, don't worry, you can trust me, I'm Doug Ford. They go, yeah, that's the problem. You are Doug Ford. You say one thing when you want our vote, and then you bail on us when it comes time to do it. But I'm glad that he's bailed because this is crap. And I hope that those people make him pay for his hypocrisy. But the point of the last year, votes. He got votes out of it.
Back to the original question for you too, John. Mm-hmm. With kids, how are you looking at this?
I looked at every curriculum for sex ed that has been thrown out since I've had kids. And I look at all the topics that are on there as a parent. And I go, some of those are uncomfortable conversations for sure. But kids got to learn them. It's life. And I trust our teachers that if they want to handle it and they can handle it, they can probably handle it as good or better than I do in some cases because they've received training and I'm just flying by the seat of my pants some days. So this topic never bothered me. Whether it was Wynne's version or whether it's Doug Ford's version, it never bothered me. I wonder how many real moms and dads in Ontario even care about it. I think a lot of moms and dads go, hey, this is real life stuff. It needs to be taught by someone at some point. Let's just teach it and move on. I think there are a lot of people are just like, okay, fine, good. It doesn't need to be 300 pages. I agree.
The sister of a 39-year-old man killed in a crash on the 401 over the weekend, saying she is disgusted with the person accused in her brother's death, noting she should be putting together pictures for his upcoming, what would have been his 40th birthday in April, but instead, she's doing it for his funeral. Add to that today, CTV News learning that the man charged with impaired driving causing death and refusal to take the breathalyzer has previous charges. In July 2001, charged with impaired driving, driving with blood alcohol level over 80 milligrams. In May 2004, convicted of the impaired driving charge and given a one-year driving suspension. And I know it's something that we talk about all the time, Christy, but when it comes to repeat offenders, you know, at this point, do we need to have stiffer, harsher penalties?
Well, sure. And I'm certain he'll get us a harsher penalty if he's convicted. He wasn't, I gather, a repeat offender when he was first charged. Though some of the numbers in that story are, you know, alarming. He was charged, first of all, in July of 2001, but he wasn't convicted until May 2004. Why does it take 3 years to go through a relatively simple, very run-of-the-mill charge? And why does it, you know, I thought we were very tough on impaired driving now. Why does he get fined only $600 and a one-year driving suspension? I don't mean he should go to jail, but why aren't the non-jail penalties tougher?
Yeah, and it really seems to be, John, I'll come to you next. It really does seem to be that riddle that we just can't solve.
Yeah, that line, like this woman, honestly, probably has done more for this topic to get awareness of by having that line. She should be preparing pictures for his birthday party, mm-hmm. not his funeral, because everyone can relate to that. And
it's a terrible story.
I hear that and I get as mad as she is. I'm like, I'm disgusted too. And I want this solved. And why is it taking so long? And why are people like this still on the road? And why do people still not understand? And then I step back and go, you know what though? It's going to get worse because we're adding in the pot and all that kind of stuff. And there are just some people, for some reason, they feel getting behind a car when they are sauced out or stoned out or whatever, it's still all good. And I don't know how we stop that, but her line, it hit me hard because everyone has done that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate too, Scott, that these stories are very powerful and they affect us, you know, until the very next story, which tends to come, you know, all too soon after another incident.
Yeah, it's horrifying, obviously. And there, you know, have been stiffened penalties on this stuff. I think I had this conversation today. First of all, I know this guy. Okay. I don't know this guy personally, but I know this kind of guy. This guy's been driving drunk every day since 2001, right? He's got busted 3 times, mm-hmm. one of them ended horrifyingly tragically. But this guy drives drunk every day, guarantee, bet you anything. And so when you get these people that get charged 3, 4, 5 times, you have to say to yourself, there's no undertaking that they're going to make to us about the wheel that can be trusted. They're not going to tell you the truth. They drink and they drive, and that's who they are. But I was talking to someone the other day, a bunch of lawyers and stuff, and they were telling me, because this kind of discussion came up, and they were saying that once you get past 4 or 5 years since your last DUI charge, the crowns and the courts start to, like, it's almost like you get a benefit for some distance. It's like, oh, you've had 3 DUIs, but not one for 10 years. So
they
no
do
biggie.
Do that. Yep.
And you know what?
Wow.
That's BS. Because if that guy's been busted 3 times for DUI, I'm telling you, it just means that 10-year gap means that he got lucky for 10 years. It didn't mean that he was clean for 10 years.
All right. Thank you all so much. Christy Blatchford, Scott Reed, John Paul. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.